This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more.
Last weekend, when Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones, it became the first time in history that Iran has directly attacked Israel. That attack is a flashpoint not only in this conflict, but in the history of the Middle East, and some analysts fear that it could be the beginning of a broader regional war. So, in this Squiz Shortcut, we're going to look back at the relationship between Iran and Israel, what led to this unprecedented attack, and what might come next. Squiz Shortcuts is your backstory to the big news stories. I'm Alex Tai.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Claire, it has been an enormous news week for domestic news here in Australia, so anyone would be forgiven if they haven't kept up with the story of Iran launching a huge assault against Israel.
Yeah, and you and I were talking about this, Alex, because there's been so much very big news here in Australia. Mm. If there's one thing I felt like I needed to know a bit more about, because it feels very consequential, it is exactly this. The history, of course, between Iran and Israel is more than a little bit complicated, as is what has transpired in the last week. And this is what Shortcuts is here to do. As you say, it's the backstory to the big news stories.
Exactly, exactly. So let's just begin by laying down exactly what happened over the weekend. And we'll work with local Israel time here. So it was about 10 p.m. on Saturday night when Israelis got the warning that Iran had launched an attack from Iranian soil.
Yeah, and we now know that there were about 300 projectiles heading towards Israel. That included 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles. And because of the distance, those drones and missiles started to approach their targets at around 2 a.m. local Israeli time.
And reports from Israel and locals there say that they started to hear booms in the sky at around 2 a.m. and that they were told to seek shelter.
Yeah, but then when people emerged from their shelters, they heard the news that, in fact, Israel's defense systems had been extraordinarily effective at stopping almost all of those drones and missiles. 99% of the attacks were stopped.
Some drones and missiles were shot down by forces from the US, Britain, France, and Jordan, but the majority were taken out by Israel's own defensive weapons systems, namely its Iron Dome and its Arrow 3 missile systems, which use their own rockets to intercept missiles and drones in midair.
Alex, I reckon we kind of need a shortcut on the Iron Dome because I'm fascinated by this idea of this sort of shelter across Israel's skies. But back to the point, as for the casualties from what happened on the weekend, a 7-year-old girl who lived in a desert community in southern Israel was hospitalised. Reports say that she's in a serious condition. But as we've said, on the whole, Israel was incredibly successful at blocking this Iranian attack.
Right. And that success has put Israel in a position where it now gets to choose how to respond to Iran's attack. But we will get to what happens next in a little bit. For now, Claire, let's look back on the fraught relationship between these two countries.
Yeah, it's good to get the background to that. So just looking quickly at the history of both countries, it's worth noting that Israel became a state in 1948. That was after World War II. And it was, of course, a homeland for the Jewish people. But almost as soon as Israel was founded, it faced threats from its Arab and Muslim neighbours.
Yeah, and Israel has really been fighting for its existence since the very beginning. As for Iran, they are a really old country. And when Israel was first founded, Iran actually had relatively good diplomatic ties with the new country. But that changed dramatically in 1979 after Iran went through an internal revolution.
Yeah, this was the period of their history where that old state that was quite open to modernization and connections with the Western world was overthrown, and it was replaced by an Islamic government that, it's like an understatement to say that they took religion very, very seriously. And as part of that change, the policy of that new regime was that Israel is an illegitimate state.
Yes, and we are just giving the very brief version here. But basically, since 1979, the Iranian government has wanted Israel wiped off the map. For its part, Israel sees Iran and Iran's nuclear weapons as an existential threat. So that is how things have stood. But fast forward to October 7th last year, when Hamas launched its own attack against Israel. We'll get into that next. Claire, just a refresher on the events of October 7th. That was the day that Hamas militants from the Gaza Strip stormed over the border into Israel and killed around 1,200 Israelis in one of the deadliest events of Israel's history. And a thing to note here is that in the immediate aftermath of that attack, Israel blamed Iran for supporting Hamas and providing them with weapons.
Yeah, and in the months since that attack, we still haven't seen proof of Iran's direct involvement in what happened on October 7. But what we have seen are further attacks on Israel from Iran's allied proxies.
Yes, proxies. So in the interest of de-jargonizing the news, those proxies are extremist Islamic militia groups around the region that are propped up by Iran. And these groups, these proxy groups, they all have it out for Israel.
Yep, that's a good explainer on that. For example, we did a shortcut last year on Hezbollah, which is the terror group based in southern Lebanon, which is backed by Iran, and it's been firing rockets into Israel's territory since October.
Yeah, and well before that as well, Hezbollah and Israel are ongoing, long-standing enemies. And we have also heard a lot about the Houthi rebels who are holding up shipping routes in the Red Sea near Israel. So those Houthis are another proxy group that is propped up by Iran. But Claire, Israel has been fighting back against these groups.
Yeah, it sure has. So over the months, we've seen targeted strikes against Hezbollah and Hamas leaders in Israel's neighbouring countries. That includes in Syria and Lebanon. And while Israel hasn't claimed responsibility for those attacks, Iran certainly believes that Israel is behind them.
And then at the start of April, so just a couple of weeks ago, there was a big strike in Syria. The Iranian embassy in Syria's capital city was destroyed in a precision missile strike, which also killed some of the top generals of Iran's army.
So, Alex, to call that an escalation is an understatement because an embassy is considered to be part of the territory of its nation. And as you say, Israel's strike also killed members of Iran's official military. So it was a very big deal.
Yeah, it certainly was. And that takes us up to Iran sending 300 missiles and drones towards Israel over the weekend. And all of the experts are saying that Iran's attack on Israeli soil was a direct reaction to that strike on the Iranian embassy. So, Claire, all eyes are now on Israel and how it responds.
Yeah, exactly. But as we mentioned, Israel was very successful in blocking all of those drones and missiles, which means that Israel's allies are now calling for calm. They say that Israel could choose to de-escalate the situation if it wants to.
And it's worth unpacking this for a moment. So given that Israel didn't suffer any massive civilian casualties, its friends and allies in the region say that it is possible now for Israel to take the high ground and choose not to strike back against Iran.
Yeah, and as for those allies, for example, US President Joe Biden told Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he should, and this is the quote, take the win. So that's one possible path. But then there are also those within Israel who are urging Netanyahu to unleash fire and fury onto Iran in retaliation for that missile strike.
Yeah, and just something to note as you ponder that, Israel is currently led by a coalition that includes some far-right members of their parliament who do want that strike back against Iran.
Yeah, and any retaliation, the experts say, could really tip the whole region into a full-blown war. And Alex, as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon for release on Thursday morning, all eyes still are on Israel to see what it's going to do, if anything.
Yes. So whatever happens, it is one of those pivotal points that could shape the future of the region for years to come. And that is your shortcut to Iran and Israel. Now, onto our recommendations. Each week on the podcast, we like to give further reading, watching, or listening related to the topic of the shortcut. And this week, Claire, I'm going to point people towards an episode of the Washington Post's podcast featuring their Jerusalem bureau chief, who talks about being in Israel over the weekend as these bombs and missiles headed towards the country and taking shelter from those bombs.
Yeah, good one. It's really good to hear from people on the ground as to how things are actually happening at the time. And my recommendation, Alex, is Kate Watson, our very own Kate Watson's conversation with Adam Harvey. That's on News Club this week. Dive into that because it's a really good take on exactly how information is coming out of Israel, how it's coming out of the region, and how we're getting that sort of information as news consumers. It's a really good one.
Excellent recommendation, and we will link to that in the show notes. That's it for us. If you like what you heard, please tell people about the podcast. And if you have any requests, you can send them through to hello@thesquiz.com.au. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.